Nostalgia, family, is a powerful thing, and it can hit extra hard around the holidays. It could be a favorite game, a movie, a meal, a person, an activity, even just a smell that can hit you. Bring it all back. Recently, we dug out a 30-year-old video game and have been playing it with our 8-year-old daughter, Adelie. It's not one that I grew up with, but it's one that Rachel did, and it's jogged all kinds of memories and conversations. Last week, we watched a Christmas movie that came out in the early 90s, and Addie actually enjoyed it. And we've been super intentional with Christmas lights and Advent readings and trying to create a general sense and a feel of excitement and anticipation. The nostalgia has been real. If you're anything like me, there are many blessings and many gifts that come to the forefront at this time of year, especially. Families, friends, Panama weather, dry season, church family, the communities that we're a part of, also smaller things like sugar cookies, coffee, teas that just taste like Christmas, and either you know what I mean with that one or you don't. Christmas trees, beautiful lights and decorations, warmth, gatherings, and more. These things are good, and they are right for us to enjoy. God has filled his world with wonders and with gifts for our enjoyment. But they are a means to an end. When we enjoy a delicious Christmas beverage, a special get-together like the one we're having this evening, a hug or a conversation from a friend who loves us, closeness with family members, or a treasured or maybe even a nostalgic memory, these are all meant to point us heavenward. However, in my experience, I often find myself looking backwards at Christmas time. And I know I'm not alone. I look back at what once was fondly. Memories from being a child. Memories as a younger adult. Memories when my family was different. I recall a time that was slower. A time that was lighter. A time that was filled with laughter and joy, and I long for it again. And spiritually speaking, we look back to Christ's first advent all those years ago. We look back, often with longings and rejoicing and smiles on our faces. And again, this isn't wrong. But the message that I believe God has for us tonight is, let these things, these same things, also point you heavenward. You see, James tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from our Heavenly Father. No true joy, no smile, and no happiness ultimately befalls you that isn't from Him. All, not some, all good and perfect gifts are from Him. And James, in this letter, is jealous. He's so jealous for us to know and receive it in this way that he begins that statement in the previous verse, verse 16, by saying, quote, "Do not be deceived." Meaning, if we're operating not under this biblical assumption that all genuine goodness and all perfect gifts are from Him, regardless of their earthly origin, then we are deceived, not walking in truth. And this is important. And they aren't just gifts that have a bow and a tag on them that says, from God, the end. No, there is a purpose. There's something greater, something beyond the gift, namely heaven. And by heaven, I mean our eternal future with Christ, in whose presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. So let me put it like this. Every good gift, and all the more at this time of year, every good gift is meant to be a foretaste of what's to come. That is, they are designed to point us heavenward. Think about this. Why is it that so many of us think back on certain traditions laughter permeated family gatherings, food filled celebrations, as well as other nostalgic thoughts that fill our minds. And not only do we have ever fond memories, but we have deep longings within us. Longings to go back to a time that was simpler. Longing to gather with those loved ones once more. Longing to hear those laughs and maybe those cries again. Why is that? It is because this kind of longing is hardwired into each one of us. We were made to long, but not mainly to long for what once was, what presently is, or what may be in the future in this world. Rather, we were made to long for something beyond this place, something quite literally otherworldly. We were made to long for heaven and the King who awaits us there. He is what we are made for, and longing to be with him is the deepest desire of our heart in Christ. Next week, I'm going to visit some family in the States, and as much as I enjoy this time and long for it, it isn't what it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And it won't be the same 10 years from now. Things change. Families grow and shrink. Looking backwards can be precious and it can warm our hearts, but it can also be bitter, sweet, and painful. In other words, as wonderful as this time of the year can be, it can also be incredibly challenging. While there are, without doubt, innumerable gifts and blessings that surround us, even now in this very room, there's also an incredible amount of sadness, heartbreak, and loss. And the loss of loved ones, especially, is often felt more pointed during this time. But here's the point. Just as the gifts and the blessings are designed to point us heavenward and Christward, ultimately, so are the pains and the losses. These too come to us by the hand of our gracious Heavenly Father who loves us and gave His Son up for us. And so my encouragement is this. When these moments come, and they will, when these emotions rise up within, and they will, don't suppress them. Don't block them out. Don't pretend they don't exist. Let them come and experience them, and then let it intensify your affections and your longings. And in particular, your affections and your longings for another home, a better home. You see, in Christ, not only is our truest and most fundamental identity now Christian, or in Christ rather than sinner, and not only is our truest life hidden with Christ, and it will be revealed when He comes, but also our truest home is not here. It is there. Hebrews 11, verses 13 and 16 says about great men and women of faith. It says, "These all died, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one." Paul similarly declares in Philippians 3:20 that our truest citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's a Christmas ham, a warm hug, a relational struggle, or the pain of missing someone this year more than words can express, let it all point you heavenward. Family, let it fuel your desire for something otherworldly, someone otherworldly, who, when we meet face to face, will wipe away every tear from our eyes and fill us with perfect joy, His own perfect joy forevermore. Everything delightful and everything difficult in this season is designed to fuel and intensify our affections for heaven. And I say heaven here rather than Christ for two reasons. One, because my intention is that they're roughly interchangeable. When I say heaven rather than Christ, I am certainly not talking about a heaven minus Christ, but a heaven with Christ as the apex and the centerpiece and the goal of it all. And then secondly, because it's true that we have Christ with us now, but what I'm talking about is something much sweeter, something much more profound, and something infinitely more indescribable than what we know now. What we know now is partial and unconsummated, and it's still distorted by sin. We see through a mirror dimly. We see shadows of what's to come. But when I say everything is designed by God to point us heavenward, I mean it's to point us to what will be, not merely to what already is. Because of the manger and because of the cross, we can today, right now, know and experience the presence of God by faith alone. We don't have to work our way to Him. He came to us. And this is precisely what Emmanuel means. He who is our homeland took up residence in this fallen and broken world and in some sense brought heaven to us. But as wonderful as this is, this present experience is not our final hope. Our final hope is in another place and in a final consummation of salvation in Christ. With his first arrival, the Son of God purchased our heavenly citizenship. He's given us a foretaste of what's to come, and he has secured, praise him, our passage home. And my question for you this evening is this. When, with the eyes of faith, we look at all that God did in and through his first coming, how the triune God refused to be without us, and how he longs to be known, related to, enjoyed, and loved by those who see in Christ just how much he loves us. When we look at that, and when we feel that, especially at Christmas time, do we feel restless for home? Do we feel homesick, as it were, for our truest home? Do we long to be with Christ in heaven more than we long for anything else? Before Jesus is betrayed, he prays in John 17, 24, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am." This is his desire at Christmas time and every other time of the year, and he is governing the world in such a way to direct our gaze heavenward. There's no enduring hope in political leaders of our day or Jesus' day. There is no true peace apart from Christ, and there is no lasting joy to be found in the things of this world. It all fades. And these things are true by design so that we will look elsewhere, so that we will look heavenward to the only hope, peace, joy, and love that lasts. Both blessings and heartaches at Christmas are good gifts from our Heavenly Father, and they are meant to direct us to Him. Don't let the heartaches rob you of where your hope truly lies, and don't let the many blessings of the season become an end rather than a means. Instead, let every loss and every delight orient your heart on heaven, your truest home, because this is why He came, family. Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he came not just to save us from wrath, but to save us to fullness of joy and pleasures that are found only in him. This is what Christmas is all about. It's a rescue mission. It's God breaking into a war-torn world to redeem a people to himself. It is God becoming like us so that he could die as one of us. And it's God doing all that must be done to save his people so that by faith alone we can be united to him and saved forevermore. This is the gospel, and Christmas is God's humble yet divine intervention to bring us safely home. If this is new to you, if you've never received the good news of great joy that Christmas is all about, I invite you, I plead with you to receive Him now. Apart from Christ, we stand guilty before a holy God with only judgment and wrath in our future for all eternity. But in Christ and by Christ, by trusting in Him and believing in Him and His finished work alone, we can have our sins forgiven and be made right with God. We can be declared not guilty in the courtroom of heaven, despite our very real guilt. We can be clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ, and we can be welcomed home. And so I invite you to receive Him even now, where you sit. And then once we receive Him with a heart of faith, He will begin to transform us little by little into a people who long for His heavenly presence more and more. So family, receive Him, trust Him, and allow all that God brings into your life and into your mind during the Christmas season and beyond direct you to Him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You that You are purposeful in all that You do. Purposeful in all Your good gifts to us and purposeful in all trials and difficulties that You bring our way. And these are all ultimately designed for us to be led to You. You design all good things, all difficult things in our life to point us heavenward. And I pray that we would receive it as such this evening. Lord God, I pray that You'll draw near to the brokenhearted and the hurting. And I pray that You'll fill Your people with great joy this evening over the birth of Your Son. Thank You for coming to rescue us. Thank You for doing what we could not. And thank You that by faith alone, eternal life can be ours. We love You. We adore You, Lord God. And it's in Your holy and most precious name that we pray. Amen.